Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am also good. I think this week's story is going to be good.
Oh.
It's like not too terrible. you know, as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, let's get right into it. I'm Sonia.
I'm Maddie.
And welcome to Grimm. So, I did a bit of deep diving into the legend of the Black Dog, which I'm not sure if you've heard of, but I think it's what J.K. Rowling based Padfoot off of, because I think, like, the name Padfoot came up a few times, and obviously Sirius is, like, a black dog, so I think that that's where it came from.
Oh, fun. I mean, they mentioned it, like, a couple times in Supernatural, but I'm actually not sure if it ever actually, like, appears, you know,
like in Supernatural.
Yeah,
I don't remember a black dog.
They've like, and I'm in my rewatch, I've heard them like mention it, like, you know, when they're like trying to figure out what they're working on, they're like, oh, could be a black dog. But I don't think they ever actually like worked on a case that was one.
Interesting.
I could be wrong though. I'll let you know as I continue my rewatch.
I look forward to your updates.
But yeah, that's all I know from it. Of it.
Oh, that's fair. Well, so there are a bunch of black dog legends. Like, literally so many. I was going through the Wikipedia article and I was like, oh shit, like, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I wanted to talk about today was the Black Dog of Newgate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Black Dog of Newgate is a legend concerning the haunting of Newgate Prison of London. So that's, like, right next to the Central Criminal Court, the Old Bailey. It's also close to St. Paul's Cathedral. And to be completely honest, I don't know anything about the geography of London. So if that makes sense to anyone, I've included it for your reference, but it's certainly not for mine. But the thing that didn't, it's like inside the City of London's original walls. So it kind of narrows on the location a little bit.
Okay.
The prison itself was in use for over 700 years, but between the years 1188 and 1902, and over the years it was responsible for holding some of the country's toughest prisoners, even though today, like, the site is a criminal court. So I guess the vibes of the area haven't really changed that much, but a little bit different from having a prison there, I think.
Yeah.
The account of the haunting based at the prison is an example of the English black dog category of a supernatural manifestation, which I think makes sense because, again, there's so many of them, like so many different legends, and probably one of those things that I will go back to for future stories, so get excited. But this one is usually a spectral hound that usually is like a bad omen or has malicious intent.
Okay. So like the Grimm, I guess, a bit from Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Grimm, basically. But it's like a really notable like archetype in British folklore superstition, which is probably where like J.K. Rowling got the idea from. The Black Dog is a demonic entity that has been seen throughout Europe and the Americas. It's described as being unnaturally large with glowing red or yellow eyes and is often connected with the devil or like the English incarnation of a hellhound.
Okay.
Which I think kind of gives like a better idea of like, you know, like the legend of like the dog being buried first at a graveyard and then it like stays there. And guides people through the graveyard. It's like different from that, which I didn't really realize. In my mind, like all dogs are good dogs, you know?
Yeah, true.
But this dog is sometimes an omen of death, so maybe not like a good dog, you know, but like,
yeah,
not you know
that's
what I mean?
You want to see.
exactly. Yeah. Something I found really interesting is that it's sometimes associated with like electrical storms. and also barrows, which are a type of fairy hound. It's also, this is less surprising to me, associated with crossroads, places of execution, and ancient pathways.
Hmm.
And I feel like from what we know of Supernatural, the crossroads are like, it makes sense that a demonic hound would be like based there, you know?
Yeah.
Black dogs are generally regarded as sinister and malevolent, and a few of them, there are a few stories, not many of them, but a few, that are said to be directly harmful. This is one of them, I think. What I do want to mention is that there are some black dogs that are like, the, you know, like the traditional, like, oh my god, a puppy, like good dog kind of vibe.
Okay.
There are some that are like guardian black dogs who guide travelers at night onto the right path and protect them from danger.
So cute.
Adorable. Mm-hmm. But either way, the black dog is a recognized motif in like stories.
Okay.
And like you can see it in a lot of places. Most notably to me, I think would be Cerberus, who like guards the gate to the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
But Welsh and Norse mythology also have similar accounts of a black dog.
Hmm.
This particular story, the Black Dog of Newgate, the earliest account of it is from the publication The Discovery of a London Monster Called the Black Dog of Newgate, profitable for all readers to take heed by. What a title. What a title.
Truly.
And the black dog is like BLACKEDOGG.
Okay.
So like the old English. And the legend is dated all the way back to 1596 and is credited to a prison inmate called Luke Hutton. And there's a copy of the book and I think like the original like piece of it at the Guildhall Library in London. So maybe a quick little visit to London is scheduled.
Yeah.
But according to the story, there was basically this famine during the reign of King Henry III of England. And during this famine, there was a scholar who was incarcerated at Newgate Prison. And I'm not sure if this is just like because of this fact or if it was just like something on the side, but the scholar had a reputation of being a sorcerer, a warlock who had done a lot of harm to the king's subject with his charms and devilish witchcraft. So that's really fun and fresh. But at this point, the famine was so severe and the conditions in the prison were so bad that the prisoners had basically resorted to cannibalism.
Oh.
And they would really target those who are weaker, I think. And this man was a scholar. Like, he was spending a lot of time reading books and stuff.
Mm.
So during this period, the prisoners who had already resorted to cannibalism sort of saw him as, like, a weak link almost.
Oh, God.
And they attacked and consumed him because he was unable to physically defend himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's exactly my reaction.
Yeah.
But really shortly after he was killed, the inmates who were guilty of causing his death reportedly began seeing the specter of a monstrous black dog walking up and down the prison aisles. And they were basically convinced that it was a sorcerer's spirit who had returned to avenge himself upon his murderers.
Mm.
So some of them said that the black dog appeared ravenous, like staring at the prisoners who ate the scholar, waiting, just like waiting for the chance to rip them to pieces. And others claimed that the black dog wandered around groaning and crying as if it was in pain or like tormented.
Oh.
Yeah. But basically it was said that the black dog reportedly killed and ate those who were responsible one by one until the last of the survivors were basically driven mad by fear. And so they broke out of the prison. They escaped. I think they must have, like, created a riot somehow. They reportedly killed the guards and were really just hoping to get far enough away from the prison that the black dog would never find them.
Hmm.
But this is a dog. And if dogs are good at one thing, it's, like, finding people.
Yep, tracking that scent, you know?
Exactly, exactly. So The dog was said to have pursued the escapees wherever they went, wherever they tried to hide. Like, they couldn't run, they couldn't hide, they couldn't basically get away at all. Mm-hmm. The dog came after them and avenged himself. One by one, the dog hunted every single one of them down. Those that kind of escaped and were able to live for a few days claimed to see the black dog wherever they went, as if like they were being stalked almost. And then days later, they were found like in pieces, basically like torn apart, as if a wild animal had like attacked them. Dang. In the middle of the night. Like, it wasn't just like they were dead, it was like they were ripped to shreds.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then for the next several centuries, other inmates at the prison claimed to see the black dog like patrolling the prison grounds, watching from afar. And at times, it was said to have gotten so bad, like seeing this dog, that they took their own lives.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. And even after the prison was basically demolished in 1902, there were still claims of seeing this wild black dog, like, circling the area almost, like, hunting, looking for prey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, the whole thing. People are terrified of this black dog and the prison. But the real pressing question is the story true?
Mm.
And obviously, like, the story is that we know today, the story of the Black Dog of Newgate was, like, a book written as the narrative of Luke Hutton. And in the book, he's telling the story to this man. He's recounting the story, recounting what people said, recounting his own, like, views on it to this man, who he described as a poor, thin gut fellow in the Black Dog public house.
Okay.
So the entire narrative is him, like, trying to convince this other man that this has happened.
Okay.
And they were basically debating the existence of the story of the black dog. And then at the end, the thin gut fellow denies that it ever happens. In the book itself, he says, no, the story is not true.
Told to?
Yeah, the guy who the story is being told to says in at the end, like, that's not true. In the book. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he's not named. He's just described as the thin gut fellow. But basically, he claims that the tale of the dog is untrue, and that the only black dog he has heard any account of was this great black dog standing in the dungeon called Limbo, which was the place where condemned prisoners are put after their judgment. And in this area, it is said to have been, like, really bad for them.
Wait, is this
so
the
much
same
so.
Prison?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an area in the prison.
Okay. It's just interesting that he would be like, that black dog isn't real, but the black dog in the same place is real.
Yeah, yeah, like, it was kind of odd.
Could be the same
one. He was like, there is definitely no black dog patrolling the hallways, but there is one in this area of the prison where prisoners would go and basically commit suicide.
Wait, he can only stay in the one place?
I guess. I don't know.
All right, sorry, continue.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically, I was going to say the same thing. I was like, it's kind of odd, like.
Yeah.
Dog is only in the one place. But anyway, so obviously, like, it was a debate of the existence of the black dog. And I think what has been described later is that this particular story was, like, intended as, like, a morality tale, you know, preaching against, like, being criminal, like, being a lowlife, having bad behavior. And it was, like, a warning, almost, to be, like, if you are bad, and you come to this prison, like, this is the condition that you're going to be living in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he basically wrote the book to describe the actual hell that was happening inside the prisons.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another reason why a lot of people think that, you know, like, it's just a story, it's just, like, a tall tale or whatever, is because the whole thing is that the man who's incarcerated, who turns into the black dog, the scholar, he was basically a witch, like, accused of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why he was in prison?
That's why people say that he's in prison.
Okay.
But the thing is that, like, at the time, in the 13th century, witchcraft and sorcery weren't exactly looked down upon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was kind of like one of those things where, so the, like, kind of hysteria around witch burning and torturing of witches because of the fact that they're practicing witchcraft. It was like starting a little bit at the 13th century, but it didn't really become a thing until the 14th century.
Okay.
And like before that, the Catholic Church basically just didn't believe that witchcraft or sorcery was like heretical. They kind of made a distinction in the 13th century between demonic worship, which was hearsay, and witchcraft. So in the eyes of the Catholic Church, witchcraft, like, it either didn't exist or it, like, wasn't considered bad.
That's so interesting. Like, yeah. How things change in religion over time.
I know. It's so wild. I didn't even realize that until this. But
yeah, I didn't either.
That was the whole thing, is that, like, before, like, in the 13th century, 1258, I think, Pope Alexander IV issued this order for inquisitors to avoid investigating claims of witchcraft. So it was, like, not even a thing. You know, like, it wasn't something that you get sent to prison for.
Yeah.
So I think the likely story at the time is, obviously, this book was written in the 1500s. I think the likely story is that he wrote the book during a time when witchcraft and sorcery were seen as demonic. Mm. And that he put it in the book. He was like, oh, this man, he was a sorcerer. He was a witch. He was practicing witchcraft. That's why he turned into this spectral black dog.
Oh, okay.
To, like, get attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe so people would believe it more at the time. I'm not sure. But it probably didn't happen this way in the 13th century. Yeah. So Hutton dedicated the work to the then Lord Chief Justice Sir John Pomfrey. What a name. I think I'm saying it wrong, but, you know, whatever. And then I think he said that, like, the theme of morality that was in it helped secure its release or something. Like, people wanted books about morality at the time.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And, I mean, going back to the conditions at the prison, I can see why it would be a big hit. Like, if I was a parent, I'd be like, listen to this, children.
Yeah, like those, like, terrifying old German, like,
yeah,
folk tales or whatever that you're supposed to tell your children.
Exactly. I'd be like, you go to prison, you be bad. The black dog will get you and rip you to shreds.
Yeah.
But basically, like, in the prison itself, like, once prisoners were sentenced, they were sent into this dungeon that was just, like, black stone. So a lot of people who were, like, desperate, you know, or have gone through so much that they were almost mentally broken at that point, they would, like, hit their heads against the stone to escape the horrors of the prison itself.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the bodies of those who died in the prison remained there until their families could pay to have them removed.
Oh.
So if you were alive in this prison, you'd basically be chained to the wall with no food, no water, and just, like, rotting corpses around you.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a good place to live. No. Like, I think that's where the whole thing about people resorting to cannibalism came from, is that you're in these conditions, like, it's just not good.
Yeah.
And around 10 years after the book was published, one of the prisoners, John Partridge, came forward and talked more about, like, the reality of living in the prison to one of the clergymen before he was hanged. And he was quoted as saying, quote, "We had no Eastman of irons or any kind of food for 2 weeks save one loaf of stale bread. We cried out for food, but none was brought. We even had started to eat our garments in hope of sustenance," end quote.
Oh, God.
And then he admitted to, like, resorting to cannibalism. And after that, he was one of the people who claimed to see this black creature emerging from the body that he and his fellow inmates ate. But, like, if you think about the conditions at the time, you're in this black room. You have no food, no water, and you're surrounded by, like, decaying bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're consuming those bodies, like, you're not going to be well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what must have happened was, like, a hallucination, almost.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it, honestly. Like, a manifestation of, like, the guilt, too, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, it doesn't matter what you've done. I don't think people should be subjected to that. Like,
no.
It's just cruel.
Yeah.
It really is. And it probably was, yeah, like you said, the guilt, the lack of food, the lack of sunlight, being surrounded in horrible, horrible conditions.
I mean, hitting your head against the wall too.
Seeing people do that,
yeah,
must be horrifying. And so, like, whether the story is real or not, whether there is a real spectral dog or not, I think what people are seeing was probably a manifestation of some kind. Like, mentally, mm-hmm. like, I would imagine you're stuck in that prison, it would break me.
Yeah.
Like, I would also see things.
Yeah.
So, regardless, I think there is a black dog wandering around. I personally like to think that it's a good boy who is hurting the souls.
Yeah.
Onwards. And I choose to believe that firmly with my whole heart.
I do too.
Because in my mind, dogs can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, this one, the black dog of Newgate, you heard it here first. Guardian.
They got it wrong.
Exactly. I am right, in fact. With my limited research of the subject, mm-hmm. I am right.
Mm-hmm.
And you should just believe me. But yeah, that is the story that I have for you this week. Took a bit of a sad turn at the end, but maybe a happy turn in my mind. All is well. All is well.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, that is all that I have for you. Do you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns on that story?
I do not. Just that more black dog stories, like you mentioned, could be fun.
I think it would be. I also like dogs. Look at us.
As long as they're, like, nice, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
good dogs.
Not, like, ripping people apart dogs.
Well, like this one. Like, yeah. Like this dog. Good dog. Guarding people.
Yeah.
Shepherding exactly. their souls.
Yeah.
Good dogs.
But yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I enjoyed this one. I like reading about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Instagram, TikTok account, the We Rate Dogs guy?
Yeah.
I think I should submit the black dog of Newgate. That'd be really fun to hear him say, like, the dogs were good again this week. This one, ghost dog, shepherd souls.
Do it.
You know, I might. I'll let you know what happens.
You should.
But yeah, would you, if there are no more thoughts on the black dog.
No thoughts. Do you wanna... Head empty.
Head so empty. So very empty.
All the time.
Literally. Would you like to change the subject for us?
Yeah. Let's see. What have I been doing? Oh, I'm going to see the new Ant-Man movie this weekend, I believe.
Ooh,
if I'm
exciting.
Getting my weeks correct. I think I am. Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize this was coming out.
Right? I completely forgot until, like, a couple weeks ago. My friend was like, oh, we can book Ant-Man tickets. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah. So that is very exciting to me. And that's, like, it.
Please let me know how it is. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it because there's, like, a theory. I might have told you this, that, like, the quantum realm is where, like, Loki is in his show. So I'm hoping that's real and that maybe Loki makes an appearance or we just find out that that's where he is. And either way, I'd be happy.
You know, if there's more Loki, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Right? Yeah. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, that is it for me. Do you have any life updates?
That was a very solid update.
Thank you.
I am attempting to watch as much Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Netflix as possible.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Me too. But I'm thinking if Netflix does this whole thing where they're like making people pay for an extra screen, I might just have to ask my parents to cancel Netflix.
Oh no.
So I'm going to try to get in as much Netflix as possible until it's over, you know?
Yes, yes.
Until it's gone. So that's where I'm at.
Fair enough. Is it your first watch through of Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, it's like my sixth.
Oh,
it's such a good show.
I thought you hadn't watched it before. Yeah, I love it.
It's like one of my comfort shows, but one of the comfort shows that like I don't talk about as much because I'm like always watching it, you know?
Fair enough.
I don't think I stop watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think it's just constantly like playing in the background.
It's so good.
Yes, yeah, so good. Truly an excellent show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all that I have. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
I do not.
Alrighty, do you want to spiel us out?
Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram at Grimm Podcast. You can like our photos, DM us, follow us, and from our profile, there's a button to email us. You can email us at thegrimmpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us thoughts on stories we have covered, stories you want us to cover, or life updates of your own. We also have a Twitter, which is Podcast Grimm, and a Facebook, which is Grimm Podcast. And other than that, just leave us a good review and tell your friends and family about us.
Yeah, and we will see you guys next week. I think I was planning on doing the Lollary Mansion, but I am feeling something else.
Fair
for
enough.
My own well-being.
That one's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, and every time I think about it, I'm like, maybe I don't want to think about this again.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to not do that.
Fair enough.
But maybe I'll surprise you. And you'll come all in right. next week and I'll be like, so time to talk about the Lollary Mansion.
Yeah. Then I'll take it.
Something will happen. That much is certain. Something will happen.
Exactly.
Yep. But until then, stay safe out there, you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.